Live from the spare bedroom in San Francisco, California, it's Kind of Funny Games Daily. Of course, I'm Tim Geddes, and I'm joined by the new face of video games, Blessing Adeoye Jr.
Happy Destiny 2 Lightfall Day, Tim.
Exactly. Everyone's so hyped. Joey's losing her mind about this.
Everybody
Andy Cortez,
is.
Greg, everybody. Everybody's all up on it. We're going to be streaming that after this show, I think.
Yeah.
That sounds right.
That is correct. Yeah.
I know they're just playing as well. It's one of the rare games that people are working on for work and for streaming, but then I'm also just like, oh, y'all are just playing.
Oh, yeah, where Greg will put on the calendar of Blessing and Greg play Destiny 2 Lightfall. When you see that, it's like, oh, okay, they're straight. No, we're just playing the game. Yeah, I'm very excited to check it out, right? Like, I'm somebody who started up Destiny 2 when it first launched. I played, like, 80 hours of Destiny 2. I played through the, what was it? The raid. Oh, what was his name? Callus? The Callus dungeon raid? Whatever his name was. The guy with the...
Yeah, the first one, right?
The first one, yeah. I played through that, enjoyed it so much, played a lot of PvP, and then... Since then, it's been me dipping my toes back in, but not never really fully investing myself. I think that happened to be last year when the Destiny 2 Lightfall trailer first dropped. And I was like, oh, this shit looks really cool. I should get back into Destiny. And I played a little bit, and I didn't play enough, and I fell off and did other things. Now that it's finally here, I'm very excited to boot it up. I'm still scared that I'm not going to get fully invested because that's just who I am when it comes to Destiny 2. But I'm excited about all the excitement around. Like, everybody here is pretty much all about it, except for Tim Geddes.
Oh, except me. And here's the thing. I love the gunplay in it, but yeah, it's too much to do. I was asking Joey, I was like, what do you need to do to get, like, ready for all this? And she started going down. There was a list. It was a list, y'all. Mm. And I'm like, you know what? I got things to do. I still haven't beat Metroid Prime Remastered. It took me this long to beat Hi-Fi Rush.
Dude, I feel that. I haven't beaten Metroid Prime Remastered. I've not gotten far at all in Metroid Prime Remastered.
And you're going to love it.
The same in Dead Space remake, which is I wanted to play that as well, right? Like, this year's just been so busy for video games that it's been very hard to actually play the things that I really want to play.
This
I did
year,
beat Hi-Fi Rush, the game that matters.
Oh, of course. I do think that this is going to be one of those years that you have to pick and choose. Like, I think it's going to be impossible for everybody to play all the big games, and I feel like in most years, it's very possible. Like, there might be games you're like, I'm just not interested, so I'm not going to do that, but like, overall, you're like, all right, I can manage this. I think this year is going to shake out to be unmanageable. Like, the last couple of years, we've looked at games like, well, those are all going to get delayed. My gut tells me we're not going to get many delays this year. And if we do, I think they're going to be delayed into this year still.
Mm.
What do you think?
I mean, right now we don't have a lot of second half game announcements, right? If I visualize my Blessing Super Fun game release calendar in my head right now, I'm not seeing much going on in the
second half. A lot of TBDs.
A lot of TBDs, a lot of space for things to come through. Of course, there's showcases that are happening. If we get a PlayStation showcase, let's say in May, I'm sure we can get a Spider-Man 2 release date sometime in fall, right? Like, I think there's some of those games that'll populate. But yeah, like, if any of the first half games get delayed, I expect them to get delayed into second half. And also, there are games that have gotten announced where this year has been so busy that I've forgotten about that they've been announced. The games that I'm excited for. There's that new The Crew game that is supposed to come out, I believe, this year that looks like Forza Horizon that I remember me and Barrett were watching the trailer for and we were like, oh, this actually looks really fun. Like, I want to check it out.
Have they officially shown that?
Yeah.
I thought that was just like a leaked thing.
The Crew Motorstorm or Motorfest? kindoffunny.com/year1.
It can't be Motorstorm.
No, it's not Motorstorm. You're right. It's The Crew Motorfest. Yeah, and they officially revealed it. We watched the trailer here, and it takes place in Hawaii, and it looks like a Forza Horizon game, and that's slated for 2023. And the game looks fucking awesome, and I'm not a Crew person.
Ubisoft Ivory Tower.
Yeah, right? I didn't know that was a thing.
Interesting.
But also, you know, fun little tidbit of news that I didn't include in the show, The Crew as a franchise has sold 40 million, or has hit 40 million players.
Oh, okay. That's very different.
That's different.
I was like, there's no way The Crew sold 40 fucking million.
The Crew franchise has hit 40 million players.
Motorfest.
And so, there's an audience out there for The Crew.
Yeah.
And I might be the audience for Motorfest. Wait, what was that?
Loving The Crew. You watched the fucking Weekend concert on HBO?
No.
Bless.
Fire.
This weekend, an hour and a half of your time, you put that thing on and just get lost, man. It is a spectacle, to say the least.
The Weekend of the Weekend?
Y'all need to check it out. But you know what? You can do that later because this is Kind of Funny Games Daily, where each and every weekday we get together live at 10 a.m. on youtube.com/kindoffunnygames and twitch.tv/kindoffunnygames to talk about all the video game news that you need to know. If you wanted to get it as a video, you could watch later on YouTube or roosterteeth.com. You could also get it as a podcast by searching your favorite podcast service for Kind of Funny Games Daily, and we'll be right there for you. Today's stories include Elden Ring's DLC is officially in development. We got a name for it. IO Interactive is officially working on a fantasy RPG and so much more. Remember, you can also get this show ad-free by going to patreon.com/kindoffunny, just like our Patreon producer, Delaney Twining, has done. We appreciate you so very, very much. If you don't have a buck to toss our way, remember, you can go to the Epic Creator Store or Epic Game Store, and anytime you're buying a game there, use our creator code kindoffunny, and it helps us at no extra cost to you, and that is fantastic. Some housekeeping for you. A new games cast is up today. You can go find that in all the normal places. It is our preview of Final Fantasy 16. Michael Higham got to go to New York, got to play it for about an hour and a half, and he came here and told us all about it. And bless, are you more or less hyped?
Oh, I'm way more. I've never had a preview sell me so much more on a game where I was already excited for Final Fantasy 16. All the trailers I thought have looked really good. But hearing Michael talk about, yeah, like, he references Devil May Cry 5. Obviously, the person who designed combat for that game is doing combat for this game. Him referencing, like, all the action game stuff, all the character action game stuff, had me very excited because I would never expect a Final Fantasy game to go full in on, hey, let's really make combat the thing. Like, let's really make it very action-y. And, you know, he talked about the story, and the story is now, like, the thing where there's more question marks on his side. And, like, even hearing him talk about it, I'm like, okay, that doesn't sound too thrilling. But I could be down for a different tone for a fantasy Final Fantasy game. And so I'm very excited to check it out.
Yeah, and you can check out the preview live right now on podcast feeds and youtube.com/kindoffunnygames. You know what else you can check out on youtube.com/kindoffunnygames?
What's that?
We've been hyping this up for a while, Bless, specifically in the last week. But there is a new episode of The Blessing Show live right now. It is killing it out there. Over 35,000 views. We are within spitting distance of taking down Greg Miller's Avengers Blessing Show. We're about 3K away from it. I feel like we're on pace to any hour today cross that line. How does that make you feel?
I'm very happy. I mean, there's that chance that we get to like 5 views before Greg's thing, and then like some Avengers news drops, and everybody goes watching, because that's what happens every single time. There's a new Avengers news, and then people go and watch that Avengers video over again. But no, it makes me very happy. I've been very overwhelmed by the reception and how you know, like, this is a topic that I was expecting a lot of people not to care about, right? Because it's a topic that I think speaks to a certain section of the audience. We're talking about black hair in video games and how we can do black hair better. But yeah, I've been very overwhelmed and very happy to see that like 99% of people have been very positive about it. Like, I've seen a lot of stories from people being like, oh yeah, this is a thing that I've complained about forever, to people being like, hey, this is a thing I never knew about, and like, thanks for enlightening me, right? Like, those are the kinds of responses that mean a lot to me. And so, yeah, thank you, everybody, for checking out the video. It means a lot.
Yeah. I'm going to talk my shit for a second, if
talk
I may.
Your shit.
May I, Bless?
You may.
I want to thank you. I want to thank each and every one of you that's watching this right now, and every single person that watched the video yesterday, that's going to watch it today, that's sharing it with friends, that's doing all that stuff. This is such an important thing that we're able to do, which is just empower creators to create. And we get to do that because of your support, whether it's on Patreon, whether it's just watching us on YouTube, whether it's doing anything that has ever helped Kind of Funny. Thank you for that. You allow us to do this. I know sometimes it can just become like, oh, you just are used to this. We do this every day. So like, you know, oh, you can just expect Kind of Funny is going to be there. And guess what? Kind of Funny is going to be there. But we only get to be here because of your support. We get to be in this beautiful studio. There's only 11 of us. There's only 11 of us at any given time working on all the different products that we're making, all the different content, all the different shows, podcasts, everything. And what Blessing and Roger did, that was them. That was the two of them using the resources that we have. They got help where they needed it. But at the end of the day, it was two dudes just putting their hearts and souls into making something that I could not be more proud of. And I am so proud of you guys for showing up. There are 768 comments on this video. And like you were saying, majority of them are positive about a topic that should only be met with positivity. But we know the world out there. Sometimes that's not the case. I am so happy that here it is the case. Y'all showed up in the best way possible. Y'all did the thing. We asked you to share. We asked you to get this out there, and you did that. So I just really want to say I appreciate that a lot. I appreciate the hell out of you being so damn talented and using that creativity and all of that. And I also want to just put out a reality there that the Blessing Show that we just put out, the dopest piece of content Kind of Funny has ever made, is going to lose us money. It already did. It is never going to make money. That's just how this works. That's how this industry is. But guess what? These podcasts make us money. This show makes us money. The ads that you see make us money. Your support on Patreon makes us money and allows us to do all the consistent stuff that you guys expect that we're going to deliver all the time, but then it also allows us to go above and beyond and just purely do something because we want to, how we want to, without anybody telling us things need to change, things need to be fixed. Any single time I gave Blessing or Roger notes about this show, I told them, here are my notes, take them or leave them. I'm not trying to change a single thing you guys are doing. I have advice, I have insight, but you guys can take it or leave it. And y'all fucking ran with that and knocked it out of the park. So thank you. Thank you, Roger. Thank you, Barrett. Thank everybody. But honestly, thank every single person at home that allows us to do what we do.
Yeah. Yeah. Thank you guys so much. And also, yeah, very big thank you to Roger. Of course, like, Roger was doing the work the last month, right? Where, like, in the last 4 weeks, if you look at Roger's computer, like, this, oh, it was the Blessing Show the whole time, mm-hmm. right? He's editing his ass off on that show. And also, like, you know, he's co-producing it. When you saw me on camera doing the, like, reading from the teleprompter, that's Roger directing it, right? While Barrett's in the back also helping out as well. Like, you know, Roger did an incredible amount of work on the show. And so, yeah, like, tweet at Roger.
An incredible amount.
Tell him that he did an incredible job. Every edit you see, like, the setting up the Lianza video, shooting the Lianza part of the video.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's all Roger. So shout out to Roger.
And again, like, not to get too in the weeds, but I think that sometimes it's important to peel the curtain back. And I know we do often, but I don't think we do often in this type of scenario where we just pulled something off that is absolutely incredible. And I love that so many people look at that and are like, wow, I can't believe Kinda Funny's capable of that. Damn fucking right we're capable of it. But being capable of it means there has to be a push and pull. Roger was only able to edit this for the last couple weeks, pretty much full on this, because we were taking on his other responsibilities, and it meant we had to turn down other opportunities, and we had to do this and that, and money had to go different places, whatever. And that's fine, because we can do that, because y'all understand. Y'all are patient with us. Y'all know that even when there's a power outage in San Francisco, we're going to show up the next day. We're going to try our best to get as much to you as possible. And on top of that, do things like this. So again, I'm just really appreciative today, and thank you for showing up. We knew this video was going to crush, but to see it crush, it just warms my little tum-tum. All right.
Same here, Tim. Warms my tum-tum as well.
But let's get to the show. Today we're brought to you by HelloFresh, speaking of those ads, but I'll tell you about that later. For now, let's begin with what is and forever will be the Roper Report. It's time for some news. We have five stories today.
A baker's dozen.
Psh. Story number one. I wish Andy was here for this one. Yeah. Elden Ring's DLC expansion is officially in development. This comes from Robert Development. This comes from Robert Anderson at IGN. From Software has officially announced Shadow of the Erdtree, an upcoming DLC expansion for Elden Ring. The developer confirmed that the DLC is currently in development, but no release date has been announced for the time being. The news came in the form of tweets from the official Elden Ring and From Software Twitter accounts, with each tweet also featuring new key artwork for the expansion. This news comes just days after Elden Ring's one-year anniversary, in which it sold over 20 million copies and received unprecedented Game of the Year awards, including at DICE, New York Game Awards, The Game Awards, and IGN's Best Game of 2022 as well. It also got second place at Kinda Funny.
Elden Ring
had one other piece of DLC content added to the game since launch, which came in the form of the Colosseum multiplayer update. It hasn't been confirmed how much content Shadow of the Erdtree is set to include, but it will be the first single-player expansion available for Elden Ring. So, Bless, Tim, if this comes out this year, which we expect it will, it just adds to what I was saying earlier. Nobody can play everything.
Yeah, no, this year is going to be insane if this hits. I'm curious to see if this hits this year. Of course, From Software also has, I keep wanting to say Pacific Rim, even though I know it's not Pacific Rim, Armored Core.
Yeah.
It's just because I fucking love that movie. From Software has Armored Core that's been announced for this year as well, right? And they're saying, hey, it's in development.
Yeah.
Elden Ring, that's a beast right there, right? That's a beast of a video game. Making content for Elden Ring, like, that is a beast of a task. Of course, they're announcing it early in the year, right? And for DLC, I could see it hitting by the end of this year. I could also see it hitting next year. Right? I think that's my thing, is I'm not completely sure, unless they've implied somewhere online that it's hitting this year, that it's going to hit this year. That said, if it does, oh my god, what another, like, you know, big piece of gaming content that we have to check out. I'm very excited about this. The Bloodborne DLC for that game is some of the best content in Bloodborne, which is very impressive. I am usually not a DLC person. I'm the kind of person where I'm like, once I finish the game, that game is done. Like, I'm out. Peace out. You try to get me 6 months later, that's going to be a difficult task to do. Outer Worlds was able to get me in for a little bit, right? Bloodborne, I ended up playing that game back-to-back where I played the full game, and then I went right into the DLC, so I got to experience it as one. And even experiencing that way, I was like, dude, this DLC portion of the game is incredible. Like, it's fucking sick as hell. And so when it comes to DLC, I got trust in From Software. I think From Software has the stuff to show up to their DLC and have that be possibly, potentially, some of the best content in the game. I love that they announced it with a name, right? Shadow of the Erdtree.
Do anything for you? Does that mean anything?
Not really. I think the image does more than anything, because people have been speculating that when you look at the promotional image, you see to the bottom right, you have the person on the horse. People are saying that person is probably Mikella, who is you probably heard the name Malenia.
Oh, many times.
Of course. Malenia mm-hmm. be beating our ass. Yeah, oh, yeah. in oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Mikella is Malenia's twin. Right. And there's big mystery surrounding, like, what the fuck is going on with Mikella? Who the fuck is this? And then the horse they're riding is Torrent. Seemingly. Torrent is the horse you ride in Elden Ring. Your main character rides. And it's like a ghost horse that you're riding. And so, like, that looks like Torrent. Torrent, yeah.
Allegedly.
That looks like Torrent before they become a horse. And so, like, people have been speculating about that a little bit. What does that mean? What's going on here? But aside from that, there's not really that much to go on. And I kind of like that. I kind of like that we have a lot of mystery to work with. I like the fact that people that pay attention to the Elden Ring lore are probably able to look at this and go, ah, shit, we're going to get this answer, that answer. I already saw, like, one of the first people I saw speculating was Timur, where he was like, is that Mikella? Is that Mikella? And I'm sure, yeah, seeing that, I'm sure he's already going through the process of being
going
like,
down the rabbit hole.
Yeah, the rabbit hole, being like, oh, yeah, I'm sure they're going to get answers to X, Y, and Z thing. Getting the horse lore.
Yeah. That horse hole.
Oh, I think it's the horse lore. Jesus Christ. It's disgusting.
Hey, this is awesome, though. So this is interesting that they just tweeted it, right? We always talk about how people make announcements and how some games are so big they can just do whatever they want. And yeah, the info was just, it's coming. Here's a name and here's some light imagery. So a tweet's probably the right way to do this, right?
You think so? Like, I expect to see a trailer at some showcase or presentation. I was gonna say, yeah, in Summer Game Fest, I can mm-hmm. see there being a trailer there that is Shadow of the Erdtree dropping late 2023 or early 2020. God. We're almost in 2024. That's fucking insane.
You know, it's the last day of February.
It's not a leap year? No, I'm just kidding.
It's not, man.
But yeah, like, I think it's a fine way to do it, right? Mm-hmm. Like, for something like this, I think they could have done something that had a bit more pop, right, if they were to do a showcase or something. But at this point, Elden Ring is Elden Ring. The pop is happening regardless, right? Even dropping just an image on Twitter with a title is making people lose their minds on the internet. And so, yeah, I think this is a fine way to do it.
Yeah. It's wild, man. I am so excited for this. It's interesting looking at these games with the big DLC packs that almost get treated like a second release of the game. Because sometimes it's just like, oh, here's more content. We've been talking a lot of shit about that when it comes to the modern games as a service of what that means. And it's kind of like, all right, cool. Here's a fucking roadmap with just a bunch of check marks. And you're like, how many of these things do I actually want? And how many do I only want because they're there and I want to do all the things? Which, like, sometimes it's fun. Sometimes it's just like, oh, man, like, you just got me by the balls, Pokemon. But Elden Ring and Bloodborne, like you're talking about, The Witcher 3 back in the day, and now Cyberpunk, right, mm-hmm. with what they're doing with the Phantom Liberty. It's like, those, I think, are almost treated as separate releases, almost more akin to Miles Morales, which is a standalone game, but it's kind of like the most expanded version of what we're talking about here. But because of that, I think you're right. Maybe it won't be this year because...
This is another thing I'll throw out. Chat, kindoffunny.com/you're wrong. When they released the Old Hunters for Bloodborne, did they call that DLC or did they call it an expansion? Because I find it very interesting that in the tweet from Elden Ring, they say an upcoming expansion for Elden Ring, Shadow of the Erdtree, is currently in development. I know that's, we're reading into words here,
yeah.
But like, what expansion feels bigger than DLC,
yeah.
Right? Like a DLC content feels like, all right, we'll get a mission, or we get a couple missions, or we get something here or there, right? Expansion makes that feel like you might get 15, 20, 30 hours more of gameplay out of this.
Yeah, I mean, I expect that for Elden Ring.
Yeah.
That sounds about right.
Yeah, I think so, too.
How hyped does that get you? Like, you not being a DLC person, and you're going to play this, but, like, are you as excited? Let me ask you this.
Mm-hmm.
Are you less excited, as excited, or more excited than you were for Elden Ring before it came out?
I mean, less excited just in the sense that, like, nothing is going to match, never, not even touching that game before, and then finally getting to Elden Ring being like, okay, this is what it is. Oh, shit. But I am excited just knowing how good that game is. You know, like, Elden Ring to this day has some of the best bosses I've ever faced in a video game. Some of the best world design, level design, art direction, right? There's something special about that experience of playing Elden Ring. For me, I'm just excited to get more of that and more, like, new of that, right? And more of the memes. You know, we go back to the launch of Elden Ring. We talk about, like, the maiden lists that we talk about, like, the different memes that come along with that. When this DLC drops, I think we're going to have, or when this expansion drops, we're going to have more of that, right? We're going to have more, I'm sure, people making references to, like, Mikella or whatever specific thing goes on there. I'm super excited about this. I would say I'm even more excited for, it is a little bit of apples and oranges, but stick with me. I'm more excited for this DLC than I was for the Breath of the Wild DLC, right? Yeah. And, like, I use that comparison because Breath of the Wild, my favorite game of all time, right? Like, more, the idea of more content for that game should be something that gets me super excited. But again, for me, as somebody who, I'm like, all right, like, DLC, I don't look at DLC as something that's going to truly elevate the experience, something that's better than the original content. I'm like, all right, we'll see. I expect this to be,
you're
just
really gonna say that about the bike that you get, the cool bike that you get at the end of the Zelda DLC?
Yes. Yeah, yes, I am. Yes, I am gonna say that about the bike. With this Elden Ring expansion, I expect it to be just as good, if not better, than Elden Ring. And so that's why I have way more excitement for something like this than any other DLC in a game that I'm interested in.
Well, everybody, please be excited. Let us know in the comments how excited you are for this Elden Ring DLC. Excuse me.
Expansion.
Expansion. Expand your mind. Story number two. IO Interactive has announced it's making an online fantasy RPG. This comes from Tom Ivan at VGC. Hitman maker IO Interactive has announced that it's working on an online fantasy RPG. Like its Hitman and James Bond projects. Oh my God, I forgot they're making a James Bond.
They are making a James Bond.
Wow.
Yeah.
Oh, I want that so bad.
I feel like you might, I can see you being into Hitman.
Oh, for sure.
Have you played the modern Hitman?
Yes, I haven't played. I started 3, but I haven't beat it. But I love the.
Are you a roguelite person?
Not really. I mean, I say that, but I end up liking a lot of them. But, like, yeah, I don't know.
I think it could be worth you checking out the Hitman Freelancer mode, because it's not as much commitment as, like, playing a full game, right? Yeah. You are going into this mode to see how far you can get, right? And it is you taking on contracts. It is, I've explained this on the show, like, a million times, because I fucking love talking about Hitman Freelancer. But you having this, like, this home base where you, like, store weapons and all this stuff, and you start from zero, and you're going into the levels, you're trying to hit all these optional objectives that are kill somebody with poison, take out 3 guards with some machine guns, like, different objectives that make you play in dynamically different ways. But then you build up to certain missions where those missions don't just task you with taking out your target, they task you with identifying your target and then taking them out. And so you start the mission, and then it's like, your target wears glasses, they have a tattoo, they like to smoke, and you have to, like, and there's, like, 5 possible characters in the
world.
Waldo. It's basically Where's Waldo, but, like, they highlight, like, 5 different people or 6 different people or however many for how far you're at in the thing. And you have to, like, follow them and stalk them and kind of see, like, all right, like, it looks like, oh, they smoke, but they don't have a tattoo. All right, this person has a tattoo, they smoke. Oh, and they wear glasses. Okay, I think that's the one.
It's that motherfucker.
It's him. Get him. And then you have to assassinate them. Hell, but yeah, depending on how you do in previous missions, that might alert them to your presence. And so, like, sometimes those people in those big missions will know that you're Agent 47, so you have to do it without them even seeing you. Like, stalk them without them even seeing you. And the missions will get more difficult depending on how well you're doing across the whole game. It's fucking fantastic. But continue. IO Interactive, I fucking love as a studio. So though them working on this excites me as well.
It's interesting here. So, like its Hitman and James Bond projects, the game is in development across IO Studio in Copenhagen, Malmo, and Barcelona. They say, quote, we're building a new world, a new IP, an online fantasy RPG, a world and a game built from the core to entertain players and expand for many years to come. For many, this journey is also a deeply personal one that began long before we started making games for a living, and it started with the fantasy genre. From the fighting fantasy books compelling you to choose your path alone against wizards, lizards, and thief kings, to the togetherness, camaraderie, agony, and delight found around the tabletop. For some, it meant taking the role of a game master, part storyteller, part AI opponent, part guide, part villain. For everyone around that table, it meant creativity, imagination, building a world together, and a shared goal in creating a great game experience. This idea that a diverse group of individuals with different skills and strengths can work together and become more than the sum of their parts is what inspires us. It inspires the fantasy world we're building, and inspires how we build it. In April 2021, Windows Central claimed that IO had teamed up with Microsoft to work on a new Dragon-themed IP, which the platform holder was expected to publish as a first-party Xbox exclusive. IO also currently working on an officially licensed James Bond game with the working title Project 007.
So this has to be that Dragon-themed IP that was rumored for, that they were working on Xbox with. I wonder if they're still working on Xbox with it. Of course, this doesn't discount the idea of that, but it's interesting for them to finally like put it out there and not really have any of that connection, which maybe we'll get at a showcase or something. The online aspect of this is the one thing where I'm like, interesting. They don't say MMO. They just say online RPG, online fantasy RPG, which makes me wonder what that could look like.
Not massive. It's just multiplayer.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. They're just taking out the massive part
it's
of it.
1M.
Multiplayer online RPG. But yeah, like that makes me wonder what the format of the same game could be. Makes me wonder, like, is it going to be a live game? Like, is that where the online component comes in? Because that's what we often see. Or is it just going to be, you know, you have a squad of 2 to 3 of your friends and you are able to help each other out with each other's missions and like fight together and do all that stuff. I like to see them spreading their wings. I like to see them trying out different things. I think James Bond as an IP is going to be such a natural step for them going from Hitman, because there's similar things you can do there mechanically and also just in terms of vibe and style. Like, yeah, they're going to make such a dope ass James Bond game. But to see them work on a fantasy RPG, I think could be very interesting. You know, like how do they approach it, right? Like, what does that look like from IO with how they've grown and developed as a studio?
Yeah, I think that's the thing that I'm most interested in is, like, where's the funding for this coming from? And what is the budget? Is the team big enough to be able to handle these projects and do something new while also doing something that is kind of, you know, we always talk about the big coming out parties for some of these games. And Barrett would always talk about Deathloop kind of being like the pop album for Arkane after Dishonored. And I feel like with Hitman has, over the last, like, I don't know, 6 years, kind of went from being like a if you know, you know type game to like now it's like, no, motherfuckers been talking about this, been saying that it's fucking great. Giant Bomb's been banging that drum forever, right? But I feel like it's not just Giant Bomb anymore. Like now people understand what an IO Hitman experience is, and they've done so much creative good stuff. Like even you just talking about the freelancer mode now, and like before there was the deals.
Elusive targets.
And like they treated like updates for the game in a compelling way, and maybe not perfect, but I do think that they were ahead of the curve in the way that they treated their games, even how experimental they got with the episodic type content. And again, not everything worked, but I appreciate that IO is willing to try different things. But with where they're at now, this just sounds like a lot, because going into James Bond, they're now working on a James Bond game in the style of Hitman, you got to assume. This could be their pop album, right? This could be their All Eyes on Us type thing. So to be working on that and something that is completely different for them and new in an already crowded field,
yeah,
is it's a choice, you know. And I'm rooting for them. I hope this works out, but I get a little bit hesitant of hearing this.
Yeah, it reminds me of Remedy a little bit, where, you know, Remedy were coming off of Alan Wake and also Control, and we fucking love Control, and now they have so many projects announced, and every single time I see them do the updates on their projects, I'm like, how are y'all working on all this? You got multiple multiplayer games, you're working with Epic on a game, you got Alan Wake 2, you got Control 2, like, how are you guys balancing all of this? And even though it's a developer that we know has skill, we know has the stuff, I think you get scared that they end up in a situation where they grow too quickly. We've seen that before with something like Telltale, where Walking Dead comes out, Walking Dead's a hit. Now let's take on all these IP and spread ourselves thin, and now everything's suffering because we don't have enough time and resources to work on each of these games anymore. We talk about it was one of the three big Western RPG studios where they talked about how it might have been CD Projekt Red, where they talked about how quickly they grew. Right, they went from like having a certain amount of employees by the time they put out Witcher 3 to then shifting to Cyberpunk and then growing and then that becoming unwieldy, right? And that leading to problems in production. That's something I don't want to see. Like I look at their IO Interactive's Wikipedia page, and they have 200 employees, and they've also just had a very interesting journey. You know, like they started off around 2000, and like they've been working on Hitman since the get go. Hitman Codename 47 came out in 2000, and that's most of what they've done. But they also did Freedom Fighters in 2003. If you remember Freedom Fighters, they did Kane and Lynch. And then they also did Mini Ninjas. And then aside from that, they've mainly been working on Hitman. But if you remember also, they were owned by Square Enix for a long amount of time. Yeah. And then they got let go from Square Enix around, I lost the year, like 2017, 2018?
Right, yeah.
Yeah, like somewhere around that. So they've been on their own for the last few years. And you talk about like, you know, who's funding this? How are they doing this? I imagine that this fantasy game is probably being funded mostly or partly by Microsoft. If this is going to be an Xbox game.
That's the answer there. It's like the money needs to come from somewhere. And if it is Microsoft backing it, like I could see this happening. But then you start to look at it and like you look at, we talk all the time about PlayStation's lineup and what do they have and what are they missing, right? And I feel like a lot of what PlayStation is missing is the more multiplayer side of things. But then they have it because of their third-party deals, right? Yep. And we see it, like, they have a very kind of almost airtight lock on genres across video games. There's very few things that they don't have. That might change over time as Microsoft has been slowly gobbling up all of the big kind of Western RPG gurus out there. But Xbox, I feel like, has games like this. So them kind of getting another fantasy RPG, it's like at some point it's going to be a very tough sell to their audience, but then there's the power of Game Pass.
Yeah, that's exactly what I was going to say. If you're making this is a live game, if you're making an online fantasy RPG live service game that, let's say it's good enough and you put it on Game Pass and you have recurring drops that happen every month and you are telling people to show up to it on Game Pass, and for Microsoft they look at it as a additive thing to get people to subscribe to Game Pass, maybe that gets the job done, and maybe that's the goal here. But yeah, like it worries me in the sense of, I hope this isn't one of those things where they're saying yes to say yes, because it's like, well, Xbox approached us and like we had this idea, right? The money's right there. Let's just do it. We're working on James Bond. We'll work on both. Like, I hope it's not one of those ones.
Yeah. I mean, especially one of those ones that you're talking about. I know that we're sounding really doom and gloom here, but there's just a reality to the games industry that we're seeing play out in front of us. And it's like, we've now seen this happen a bunch of times, but it's like, where's Everwild from Rare, right? Avowed. We'll see Avowed. It hasn't been long enough for us to be like, ooh, where is it? But at the same time,
where is it?
It's been a while since we've seen Avowed.
There are a lot of games. There was, and again, this is one where it's like not been that long, but Outer Worlds 2, like, the list goes on in terms of Xbox games where we're kind of sitting and waiting a little bit. But yeah, like I am looking forward to seeing what this is, because IO Interactive, I think, is a very talented developer. And I think they could possibly pull it off. But I'm in a waiting to see kind of mode for that.
100%.
Yeah.
But we're
really want
to
see James Bond.
I really want to see James Bond. I hope we see James
Bond. It's been too long since we've gotten a good James Bond game.
Dude, it's been too long since they've announced James Bond and since they announced Indiana Jones. I want both.
Where's Indiana Jones?
Where's Indiana Jones, everybody? I don't know. If you guys know, please let us know. Oh, I don't even know. How do I do this? What's the segue? How do I get to the ads here, Bless? Help me out.
Listen.
You know what I do know?
You know what he does know?
You
can go to patreon.com/kindoffunny,
baby. You could do that and get the show ad free. But for everybody else, here's some ads. Shout out to HelloFresh for sponsoring this episode. Remember those New Year's goals you promised yourself that you'd stick to? Well, HelloFresh is here to help you eat better by delivering fresh ingredients and easy recipes right to your door, taking the hassle out of dinner time. Fast and fresh recipes, HelloFresh's latest line of meals featuring robust flavors and filling portions, are ready in less than 15 minutes, so you can enjoy taste and quality done quick with recipes like falafel power bowls, seared steak and potatoes with béarnaise sauce, or Southwest pork and bean burritos. A ton of us here at Kinda Funny have been using HelloFresh for years. Kevin loves how easy it is to get Paula vegetarian options, while I just love how quick the fast and fresh recipes come together during a hectic day in the studio. Go to HelloFresh.com/kindoffunny65 and use code kindoffunny65 for 65% off plus free shipping. That's HelloFresh.com/kindoffunny65 and use code kindoffunny65 for 65% off plus free shipping. HelloFresh, America's number one meal kit.
The newest episode of my video essay series, The Blessing Show, is out right now on youtube.com/kindoffunnygames, and it's all about black hair in video games. Black representation is complex compared to alien frogmen. I'm sure it's way easier to conceptualize this than a fade. Elden Ring is the highest selling new IP in years, and I guarantee you, From Software and Bandai Namco understands that their audience extends internationally. When given the option to create a black character, I'd like to create a version of myself that doesn't look like if Lil Nas X sang lead for Fall Out Boy.
For many, I'm sure this seems like a very minuscule and specific thing to complain about. There's plenty of noteworthy areas of improvement the games industry can still make, even in just the area of representation and inclusion. So why is black heroin to harp on? Well, for folks who just listen to me on podcasts and have never seen a Kind of Funny video before, surprise, I'm black. Check it out over on youtube.com/kindoffunnygames.
And we're back with story number 4. Shigeru Miyamoto says he's confident Nintendo won't change.
Oh, we skipped story number 3.
Leaves. Story number 3, Final Fantasy 16 is probably getting a PC version, but not for a long time. This comes from Ryan Dinsdale at IGN. Despite lots of back and forth messaging, it looks like Final Fantasy 16 is probably getting a PC version after all, though likely not for a long time. Speaking on the Japanese PlayStation blog and translated by industry insider Wario64, and Wario64, thank you for all your work.
Salute.
Fantastic. Final Fantasy 16 producer Naoki Yoshida said he would like to release a PC version at some point. Yoshida said, "It's true that Final Fantasy 16 is a 6-month limited time exclusive on the PS5 platform. However, it's a completely different story that the PC version will be released in half a year. I will make it clear, the PC version will not come out in half a year. This is because we want to spend a lot This is because we spent a lot of time and money optimizing the PS5 platform to deliver the best gaming experience. Of course, I would like to release a PC version at some point so that everyone can play as many games as possible. However, even if we start optimizing the PC version after the PS5 version comes out, we won't be able to optimize it in half a year, so it won't come out in a short span of half a year. I'd like to release it eventually, and I think I will, but I'm not at the stage where I can say when."
Finally, we got some clarity.
This is huge! This is huge, everybody, in multiple ways. One, clarity on, boom, 6-month period. Does that mean that it's applied to all the Final Fantasy, or all the Square games in PlayStation? No. But it does mean that a 6-month deal exists. So cool, we have something to work with there. And on top of that, hell yeah. This is the most base take I've seen in so long. Like, we don't want to fuck this up. PC ports matter. We need to not just put it there, we need to get it right there. And on top of that, we need to get the first one right first. Get it right on PS5. This is a mainline Final Fantasy title. This is the first single-player Final Fantasy title in a very long time. Come on.
Yeah.
Hell yeah.
I appreciate Naoki Yoshida for, like, finding ways to clearly express what has would have been stumbling blocks before in communication. Because, yeah, I think between this and then, like, the black and brown representation in Final Fantasy 16 thing, I think they kind of had to have a meeting and be like, yo, we got to get our communication straight. Because, like, the back and forth of this thing has been like, the trailer said 6 months, but you're saying there's no PC plan. Like, what does that mean? This explanation makes perfect sense, right? And it goes back to a little bit of what Michael Hyam was talking about in the Gamescast, where he talks about, you know, from Final Fantasy 14, this team and Naoki Yoshida is fairly communicative and is pretty good about being open and transparent, and often will take feedback, right? And often will be like, all right, How can we do this to do better in the future? Like, what can we do to improve? So them being like, hey, people are confused and people are seeing back and forth with how we're talking about this. Let's set it straight and let's be very honest about it. Because this seems like a very honest answer of, hey, yeah, okay, there's a deal for 6 months, but we are focusing on PS5 right now. It's going to take longer for us than 6 months to develop a PC version. Maybe someday there will be a PC version, but we have to develop it, which takes time. Makes sense. Right? Like, that's how video game development works. And so, yeah, I appreciate that communication. congratulations to PC people who might have been, like, waiting for this version. You might be playing it in 2 years.
Which was hinted at, like, day one of this game being announced.
Which was literally hinted at day one. But, yeah, you're eventually going to get that version, probably. And, yeah, like, the more I read about this game, of course, previews went up this morning. Reading through some of the previews, I'm like, dude, this game just sounds so fucking awesome.
It sounds so good, man. Fingers crossed that the story is good and that the characters are good, because it's just so hard for me to get behind Clive. I just can't do it, guys. I need help out there. If you guys have help to let me know how I can get behind Clive, please let me know, because I'm struggling out here, all right?
How long do you think the game is going to be?
I imagine it's going to be a smooth 35.
You think so? Okay.
Yeah. Because, like, Final Fantasy VII Remake was that.
That's a good call.
Right? I think it's going to be around that.
Okay. People don't go into Final Fantasy expecting 70 to 100 hours. It's not that kind of RPG usually.
Not these days, I don't think.
Mm-hmm.
No, I feel like it's closer to the 30-40 mark, and especially depending on what you're doing. But the thing is, this game being so fast-paced, combat-focused, I don't see that lasting as long, right? Because it's like when you,
that's
you need
why
more encounters, you need more bosses to be able to up the ante, and like that you just can't do that forever. So I kind of feel like that it's more akin to something like Crisis Core that we played, that granted was originally a PSP game, but like it being more action oriented, it's like it can only it outstays its welcome if you go too long. Yeah.
That's my thing, is that, and that's why I asked, is when we were talking to Michael, I was asking about like the RPG mechanics and how does leveling up work and what are the things you're doing in order to evolve combat. And that's still the thing I wonder about this game, if is, you know, they're leaning into a action combat focus. You know, Michael talked about combos. Michael talked about like there's systems in place so you can even do auto combos if you're not as advanced of a player. What does that mean in terms of hour one versus hour 35 of how my progression has gone? Because I think that is how, for 80-hour RPGs, that's how you extend the time. That's how you keep things from getting stale. It is that constant progression of you learning new moves, getting new abilities, becoming stronger, equipping new spells, equipping new armors, equipment, all that stuff. How do you do that when it is, hey, we're doing character action? I imagine they got to marry the two, which very much excites me, because that's going to have to be, that's going to be a banger if you're able to do that successfully. But I'm not, I feel like that's few and far between where we're able to see it on that level done that well.
Yeah. Pete Kunagi says it was announced to be 35 hours mainline, with story and side missions being 70 to 80 hours. Okay. That sounds exactly what I expect in this game. And that's awesome. Very excited for that. And we won't have to wait too long, man. June is right around the corner.
How well do you think this game does sales-wise? I saw a tweet going around, I think it was maybe Kat Bailey, that tweeted out a poll where she asked, which do you think sells better between Final Fantasy 16 and Diablo 4, which I thought was interesting. Diablo 4, of course, I feel like is, that speaks to a PC audience on another level.
I mean, I think both are going to sell very well.
Like, yeah. Do you think FF16 becomes a monumental step for Final Fantasy in terms of sales power?
There's a lot of conversation here, man.
Yeah.
A lot of conversation that I want to have, because you got to think about this. Like, the difference is, the biggest difference is Diablo 4 multi-platform, right? So already you are selling to a bigger audience. Multi-platform, including PC at launch, right?
Yeah.
That is going to be huge. That's going to get all the Steam numbers. That's going to like blow it out of the water. Then we have the Final Fantasy side. It's just PS5, which is selling very well, and there's a ton of them out there, but there's not that many out there for it to be able to potentially hit its full potential, right? It being the first core mainline Final Fantasy in a long time, with the backup of the Final Fantasy 14 team and all that stuff, I think that there's more goodwill going into this than there was going into 15.
Okay.
And 15 sold really well. But 15 was also multi-platform.
I think the Diablo series also sells fucking gangbusters, though.
Yeah. And I think Diablo 4 being a return to form and like looking at it, I haven't heard anything that makes me think it's not going to be good. So I feel like unless Diablo 4 royally fucks up, it's going to trounce Final Fantasy 16. Will Final Fantasy 16 crush as well? I think yes.
This is what I want to put out there. This is from Wikipedia. As of May 2022, talking about Final Fantasy 15, the game has sold 10 million units worldwide, making it one of the best-selling Final Fantasy games of all time, which shocks me because for some reason I thought Final Fantasy was just a bigger seller.
It's the best-selling one there, is
Final Fantasy VII at 13.2 million.
Yeah, and it's just things were different. The scale of numbers was different when the Final Fantasies were really fucking hitting, and also they were essentially annualized, which is insane. But that's not quite true. But like, it was wild how many of those, like the amount of years for 7 to 10 coming out is like crazy for how high quality those games are and beloved those games are. But I think that just the entire game's changed, and I think that the 10 million for Final Fantasy 15 is, that's an incredible number, right? Mm-hmm. Like, that's very high for video games, period. And it being so high for a Final Fantasy, I think that 16 is going to outsell 15.
I don't know, man. Pokemon Scarlet and Violet did that in 3 days.
That, for sure.
That's the joke there is the Pokemon is fucking crazy.
Yeah, absolutely.
But, and for the context on the Diablo side, I forget if you said this already, Blesses. Diablo 3 sold over 30 million copies worldwide by August 2015.
Yeah.
And that's with, like, I feel like Diablo 3 is kind of a little bit more split with fans of, like, if you liked it or not, whereas, like, people are excited for Diablo 4 because it seems to be going back to the more old school stuff. Or
Diablo 3, another thing to keep in mind for those monstrous numbers that are huge, like, fucking absolutely huge, but it was the first one on consoles. Well, the first real one on consoles. Diablo 1 was on PlayStation, but like it was not the same. And I think that there was so many people playing for like the first time. Like, there's no way Greg Miller played fucking Diablo 2 on PC, but he played Diablo 3 on PS4. You know what I mean? So I feel like it,
that's fair.
The multi-platform side of things, like, got so many new people in Diablo that are going to show up day one for 4. Diablo 4 is going to absolutely crush. I think Final Fantasy 16 is going to crush relative to the franchise. And I think that even though it's platform exclusive on PS5, I think it's going to outpace 15.
God, Diablo, it's funny because I know how big Diablo is, but I always, I guess, forget that Diablo 4 is going to be one of the biggest games of the year, at least in terms of like sales power and in terms of just how many people are going to be playing it. I think I'm gonna finally get into Diablo with this one.
Bless.
That's my plan.
Hey, you need to calm the fuck down, all right?
Even though that week is crazy.
Yeah. You're sitting here right now and be like, you know what? I think now's the time. I'm going to get in Diablo. I'm going to get into Destiny. You know what? Fuck it. What's this World of Warcraft?
I'm not disgusting, Tim. I'm not a fucking nasty person who's going to play World of Warcraft. What do I look like?
You're so nasty out there.
Yuck.
On your mounts.
Why do you say mount like that? But no, the only thing that's going to fuck up Diablo 4 four for me is that I think that's like the same week that both Final Fantasy 16 and Street Fighter 6 come out, and so that might derail me, but like hearing Michael and Joey talk about it made me really want to play it.
What an exciting time, man. We're about to be gaming, y'all. Resident Evil 4 is so close. Oh, story number 4.
I wouldn't know.
I know. It was perfect, but it's not time yet. Now for a breaking news story that has never been read before. Shigeru Miyamoto says he's confident Nintendo won't change after he leaves. This comes from Andy Robinson at VGC. Super Mario and Legend of Zelda creator Shigeru Miyamoto has said he's confident little will change at Nintendo when he eventually leaves the company. Miyamoto, who joined the Japanese company from college in 1977, is best known as the creator of some of Nintendo's best-selling game franchises, including Super Mario, Donkey Kong, Legend of Zelda, F-Zero, Pikmin, and Star Fox. What a god. At 70 years old, Miyamoto's now in retirement age. However, he has previously insisted he's not considering ending his career in the near future. Speaking in a new interview with NPR, the Nintendo director was asked what he thinks Nintendo will be like without him when the day of his departure eventually arrives. You know, I really feel like it's not going to change. It's probably going to be the same. There's, you know, people on the executive team, creators within the company, and also people who create Mario. They all have this sense of what it means to be Nintendo. And so it's not like there's a lot of different opinions that go back and forth. Everyone has an understanding, this kind of shared understanding of what it is to be Nintendo. And I think that's something that, you know, we have this incredible shared vision, almost a little scary shared vision about this. So I think it's not going to change. Most recently, Miyamoto has been co-producing the Super Mario Bros. Movie along with Illumination founder Chris Meledandri. And a note there, Super Mario Movie pushed up 2 days, April 5th instead of April 7th now.
Hell yeah.
So we're going to get that thing even sooner, dude. 2 days closer. I can't freaking wait, Blessing.
It looks so good.
Cool. Not surprised about this. Miyamoto's doing the rounds right now because he's promoting Nintendo World. So I think we're going to get a whole bunch of little bits and bops from him.
He's got to be one of the coolest people on the planet.
Straight the fuck up, man.
Right? Like, the fact that he created an IP that, like, he now, at the age of 70 years old, gets to, in the same six-month span, three-month span? Three-month span, promote a movie for and also promote a theme park for. That's insane. Like, I even cut out like the last couple paragraphs from the story because I don't want to go too long. But he talks about or the article reads, right? Miyamoto previously said he's been excited to work on a variety of projects, such as elements of the Super Nintendo World theme park attraction 2, as well as mobile games, in addition to his other responsibilities at Nintendo. The game designer repeated this sentiment when asked by NPR, which what up? What?
Pretending to listen to the chat says, for real, Shigeru looks like he still fucks on the reg.
I missed that one. That's really good. No comment. The game designer repeated this sentiment when asked by NPR which of his created worlds he would choose to live in if he could. Quote, I really love the work environment that I'm in because I get to engage in so many different things, Miyamoto replied. So it would be great if, you know, I could be in an environment where I can change the kind of work I do all the time. So I think it might just be my desk or my bathtub, right? The idea that, like, he can do whatever he wants, wherever he wants, right, in terms of creative projects, and he has the leeway.
Yeah.
He can work on a theme park. He can work on a movie. He can work on a video game. Mm-hmm. He can make some Super Mario Brothers shoes if he wants to.
Hell yeah, dude.
Right?
He's like the ones from the movie, the 93 movie.
He's like what Kanye West wanted to be without the racism.
You know, I've been often thinking that.
Yeah.
Yeah. No, shout out to Miyamoto, fucking killing it. I can't wait to go to Super Nintendo World. I can't wait for the movie. I can't wait for new games. It's a sad thing to think about that there will be a day that Miyamoto's no longer involved with Nintendo. But
yeah.
That day's so far away. No. We have one more story. Story number five. For spoken developer, Luminous Productions is merging into Square Enix. This comes from Wesley LeBlanc at Game Informer. And I'm surprised that wasn't already the case. Following the release of Forspoken earlier this year, Square Enix has announced that the games developer Luminous Productions will merge into the company. It's a strange announcement given that Luminous Productions was already a studio under the Square Enix umbrella, but now it seems that Luminous Productions as an individual entity will exist no more, and thus we won't be seeing its name on future titles. The merger is part of the company's efforts to bolster the competitive prowess of the group's development studios, a goal set forth under its current medium-term business strategy. Square Enix has developed numerous AAA high-definition games.
Love high-definition.
And possess
1080p is my favorite one.
A wealth of intellectual property and content. Luminous Productions Co. Limited is meanwhile equipped not only with AAA title development capabilities, but also technical expertise in areas such as game engine development. Combining the two entities will further enhance the group's ability to develop HD games, and Tim's editorializing a bit here, its ability to be sold.
Oh, that's what you think this is.
I mean, shit, right?
Yeah, I mean, that makes sense.
Yeah, just like lean up, look cleaner.
Yeah,
but have also, the talent. Why would they word it like that? Like, just say, like, hey, we've dissolved the studio, but we're not firing anybody. We're just going to put them in different places and stuff.
They're
going
to do the same exact work. We're just not going to call them Luminous Studios anymore. And,
yeah.
Like, they're not going to have. When Forspoken 2 comes out, which it won't, it'll just say Square Enix.
Yeah, Luminous has been a weird one for a long time with, you know, Final Fantasy 15 and the people that left there, stayed there, all of that turning into Forspoken, and here we are. It's like, none of this surprises me at all. Square seems like it's in a very interesting place right now, where I'd say it's messy, but not bad. Not every step is perfect, okay. But I feel like when you look at their track run the last like couple years, they've been releasing a lot of really high quality games. I feel like Forspoken is almost on the like surprise side as opposed to we expect these games to be good now.
I think for how big Forspoken is, yeah, it's a surprise. But like every single year we have a Square Enix, like what the fuck was this really? It was what? The Quiet Man, Babylon's Fall, wasn't were they fucking the game from the Sonic creator who got arrested?
Balan Wonderland. Yeah.
Was that Square Enix?
Yeah.
Yeah, Balan's Wonderworld. I feel like we get that from them fairly regularly.
Surprise is probably not the right word. What I mean to say is like it's less likely that these games are going to be bad. It's more likely that they're going to be good, at least in the last couple of years of what we've seen. But yeah, there always is. They do so much shit that there's going to be. But for every Balan's Wonderworld land, whatever the fuck it is, there's also a Theater Rhythm Final Line that people love. So it's like, I feel like they...
you just said words.
Or Project Octopath Traveler, or like Bravely Default. Like, they do so much shit that I would say more is good than bad. You know what I'm talking about?
I love how like the cleanup of like how crazy a name Theater Rhythm is Project Octopath Traveler. Two. It's like, all right, cool, I get Theater Rhythm is a weird one. Let me tell you about Project Octopath Traveler 2.
Fucking love you, Square.
That's gonna drive home my phone. No, that's really funny.
Oh my lord. Well, you know what? Whatever the hell Square is doing, if we're ever gonna get a Balan's Wonderland 2, the answer to that's so far away. If I want to know what's coming to Mom and Grop shops today, where would I look?
You would look toward the official list of upcoming software across each and every platform as listed by the Kind of Funny Games Daily Show hosts each and every weekday.
The chat is reminding me to not forget about Triangle Strategy, all right? Project Triangle Strategy.
I hope that never goes away. Just the weird names that Square Enix has for their games.
If there is one thing I can promise you about video games, Bless, is that weird Square Enix names will never go away.
I love them so much.
Out today, Destiny 2 Lightfall on everything except Switch. Sorry, Switch. Dungeons of Aether on PC. Scars Above on everything except Switch. Street Fighter Duel on iOS and Android. A mobile Street Fighter game.
Yeah, this was reported a little bit ago. I forget. Barrett, if you have time. Do we have time? Yeah, we can pull it up. Pull up a trailer in the background. I want to see what this is.
Interesting. Catan Console Edition on PS4, 5, Xbox One, and X.
Love Catan.
Splatoon 3 Expansion Pass Wave 1 Inkopolis is on Switch. So, hey, Switch, you're not all alone today. There we go.
There we go. That's not what I asked for, but it's better.
Well, this is what I prepped before you asked for something else last night.
Good, okay? Good. I love this.
Yeah, audio listeners, the image of Andy dressed up as a
squid kid.
Inkling?
Squid kid.
He's about to ink.
Don't ink, Andy. Horus on PS4 and Xbox One. Phantom Brigade on PC. Rusted Moss on PC. Rightmost on PC. Oh, lordy lord. Void Terrarium 2.
I think Terrarium is the pronunciation.
No,
for
fuck
that.
You. Fuck everybody. Every once in a while, I have to read some bullshit name on this list. It is rarely this bad. The game is pronounced Void Terrarium 2. All right? Let me spell it out for y'all. Void. How do you think you spell void?
V-O-I-D.
You would be correct. How do you think you spell terrarium?
Oh, man. All right. Terrarium. T-E-R-R-A-R-I-U-M. Terrarium.
You nailed what it should be. Instead, it's lowercase t, capital R, lowercase r, capital L, capital M, 2, open parentheses, close parentheses, .../.
That doesn't say terrarium to you? I feel like if I looked at that grouping of letters, I'd be like, oh, that's terrarium. That's terrarium.
Look at that group of letters.
Yeah, it's terrarium. It's terrarium too. It's terrarium too.
At best, it's
Trollum 2. Trollum 2.
Out today, everybody. New dates, I already said this, but the Super Mario movie's
also
moving.
You missed a comma?
Semicolon?
This right here. Little asterisk.
The asterisk isn't here.
The asterisk is missing from. Wow. Shit. Damn, IGN, why'd you mess me up on the asterisk?
It seems that that's the full title of the game. Like they.
Oh, wow. Okay. Oh, it's like, so it's like DOS, a DOS prompt, a command prompt.
Oh, ooh. Yeah, so it's like, that's kind of cool, actually. I mean, not a good title for a game. That's SEO.
Don't give
right
them
there.
Anything. Yeah. No. Deals of the day. Xbox Games with Gold for March has been announced. Lamentum, Trevor Brook, and Sudden Strike 4 Complete Collection. And Cyberpunk.
Xbox Games Gold coming with the bangers.
Yeah, Trevor Brook.
Can't Cyberpunk, wait for Lamentum.
Cyberpunk 2077 is now Steam Deck verified.
Ooh.
Yeah. Exciting.
So that's pretty cool. That is pretty cool. Let's go to You're Wrong.
Barrett did bring up a Street Fighter Duel, by the way, and it looks like a mobile game.
All right. Yeah. All right,
it's nothing special.
Let's see.
I might download it still, though, just to make sure.
Kebab says, not that anyone cares, but the correct name is Balan Wonderworld. I don't think I'll ever get that right.
I struggled with it at first.
How much of that game did you play?
Just the demo.
Okay.
Yeah, I got to the end of the demo.
I 100% of that demo.
No, you. Well, oh, the demo. Okay. I was about to say.
No one besides Jeff Grubb has actually played that game in full.
I think the demo ended with like a farm man singing a song.
Nano says, per the PlayStation YouTube page, The Old Hunters was called an expansion DLC.
All right, there you go.
The Old Hunters is a brand new expansion DLC. That's what they said.
Cool.
There you go. All
right. Cool. Then Elden Ring. What was it already called? What was it called? The Erd Tree. Shadow of the Erd Tree. Same thing.
The Indigo Mask.
The Indigo Plateau.
Indigo Disc. Teal Mask.
I didn't get to ask you. Is that Indigo DLC for Scarlet or Violet, does that have any connection to the Indigo Plateau?
No.
No? Okay.
No. Highly, highly doubtful. Having said that, some of the things they said imply that this is going to be a trip to Japan. And Kanto's in Japan, so perhaps, because like Indigo,
they got to do that, right?
I don't know, but the fact
I'm gonna go to Blueberry Academy.
I would think so more if the other expansion wasn't called the Teal Mask. So it's like I think just Teal and Indigo. They're just going with colors. I don't know that it relates back to the Indigo Plateau, but I wish that it would.
Man, Blueberry University sounds like it's in Cerulean City. That's all I'm saying.
Yeah, it's not. It's in the middle of the ocean. Anyways, this has been Kind of Funny Games Daily. Tomorrow is Bless and Greg hosting, then Greg and me, and Friday is Greg and me. Very exciting stuff. I love doing the show. I love doing it with you. I love doing it with Greg. I love doing it with a whole bunch of people. And I love doing it in front of all of you. Thank you for hanging out. Let us know in the comments below what your favorite color is. You know what I mean? I'm going to judge you.
I'm red.
Partially.
Mine is red.
Yeah?
Yeah.
I wouldn't be surprised about that.
Yeah?
At all.
Mine's green. Yeah.
I'll never tell you what mine is. You'll never know. Until next time, I love you all. Goodbye.